Yes. So we're doing a series at the moment here at Hope. It's called Jesus' Last Words. Now, they're not the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, but it was what you might call the last block of teaching. He went to the cross, but before that happened, he was with his disciples and he told them a lot of important things he wanted them to know at that point, before he went to die for the sins of the world. So those last words, we call them, the farewell discourse, they matter. When you are not going to be seeing people again, you want to say things to them that are really important, that you want them to remember. So that's the series we're doing at the moment. Now, Jesus had been with his disciples for 3 years together, day and night. They travelled together. His disciples had seen Jesus do astonishing miracles. His disciples hung on his words, as did everyone who followed Jesus and listened to his teaching. Jesus was teaching about life in the kingdom of God. That was available to everyone who would receive that, and that's available today for everyone who will receive that from Jesus. Life now on this earth in the kingdom of God, that's available to us through Jesus. So everything's good. They're fine with what Jesus is saying. But then Jesus says this, "I'm going away." And they look at each other. This stunned silence. What? Where are you going, Jesus? And Jesus said, "I'm going to the Father, and I will prepare a place for you, and then I will come back and take you to be where I am." And then he said, "But someone else will come and take my place with you. Someone else will be with you as I go to be with the Father." And Jesus was talking about, he said, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, or in other words, the Advocate. Jesus said, "This one will come and be with you on earth because I'm going away." The first time I heard about the Holy Spirit was when I did not yet know Jesus. I was a young man in my early 20s. I was working up in Northern Western Australia. I was a nurse, and I was at a party with other nurses and staff members, and most of us were drinking. And there was a young woman, another nurse, sitting at a table, and I went over to her with my drink, and I said, "Why aren't you drinking?" And she said, "The Bible says, do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God." I wasn't a Christian. I didn't know the Bible at all. They were new words to me. I didn't understand them. But something I heard was, this Holy Spirit can make you feel good, like wine makes you feel good. Not the same, but the Holy Spirit can do something in you that you really enjoy. Now, she was joining her fellow nurses at this party. As I said, we were drinking, typical party. Now, she was there with us. She had not kind of said, "Oh, I'm not going to go to that." She joined in, but she didn't join in the behaviour. She was there in the physical. She was engaging with people as she did with me, but she was leading a different kind of life. She had a strength in her that enabled her to be engaged with people like Jesus did. He was with anyone and everyone who wanted to be with him, but she had a strength that enabled her to stand and live in a different way. And that came from the Holy Spirit who lived in her. He gave her a supernatural strength. Then a year or two later, I was changed myself by that same Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later. So today we're talking about the Holy Spirit, an important thing that Jesus said to the disciples in his last evening with them. So, who is the Holy Spirit? How does he work in our lives? How can we grow in relationship with him? They're the things I want to talk about this morning. Jesus said, he will be with you. He will be with you. The Holy Spirit is a person. We should not refer to the Holy Spirit as it. You wouldn't like someone to call you an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. And not an impersonal force. This is God, the Holy Spirit. He is co-equal with the Father. He's co-eternal with the Father. He has the same divine attributes as the Father. And he shares them with God the Son, Jesus Christ. They have the same attributes, but they have different roles in their working in the world and in the way they work in God's people. So the Holy Spirit is relational. He has a will. He has feelings. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench or stifle the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. But on the other hand, you can love the Holy Spirit. You can learn to hear his voice. You can learn to submit to him. And you can know his empowering in your life as you seek to follow Jesus. So Jesus told the disciples how this Holy Spirit was going to help them. And he said quite a few things. And I've made a list of them here. I'm sorry, those with not great vision. I'll read these to you. This is a list of some of the things the Holy Spirit will do. He will help you. He will be with you forever. He will be in you. He will teach you all things. He will remind you of everything I've said to you. He will guide you into all truth. He will tell you what is yet to come. Clearly, we need his help. These are all the things that the Holy Spirit will do for those who follow Jesus. You try and follow Jesus without the Holy Spirit and you will fail. It's impossible. So, who has the Holy Spirit? I don't need a show of hands. Who has the Holy Spirit? Let me read what Jesus said. Because I'm talking about the Holy Spirit here, and some of us might be thinking, well, do I have the Holy Spirit? Let me tell you. Not what I think, but what Jesus says. Jesus says this, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Who is thirsty for fullness of life? Who is thirsty for the truth? Who is thirsty to know the true and living God? Who is thirsty for real life? Jesus said, if you're thirsty for that, come to me, Jesus said. And then he said this, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. So Jesus is saying, whoever believes in me, they're going to have rivers of living water flowing from within them. And then it says, by this, Jesus meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So who has the Holy Spirit? It's the people who believe in Jesus. the people who have received Jesus into their lives, handed their lives over to him. Okay. Now, I want to say a lot this morning, but there's a whole lot I can't say. But here's a simple statement to summarize what I see as the work of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit takes us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity in life and in service. I'll read it again. What does the Holy Spirit do? Here's a summary. The Holy Spirit takes us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity in life and service. A spiritual infant. Who are spiritual infants? Spiritual infants are people who have just come to know Jesus. You're starting off. This is a journey of learning and growing in the kingdom of God. And you've just come into that. There's a lot to know and a lot to learn. A spiritual infant. But the Lord wants us to become spiritual adults, mature people in his kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is the one who will take us from infancy to maturity. So he acts in our lives and we cooperate. Now that's really important. We can say we will definitely, now I can say this categorically, I have no doubt about it at all. Anyone can move from being an infant in Christ to being a mature Christian believer, follower of Jesus. Anyone can do that if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It won't happen otherwise. But it's all there, available to us. God has provided everything, but we need to embrace it. I want to talk about some things this morning about what that might look like. And to do that, I want to take one event from the life of Paul the Apostle. Just one event, and I want to use that as a springboard to talk about broader issues of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. Now, I want to combine these two things. The Holy Spirit's work in our lives, what he does in us, and then our own relationship with him or our response to him. I'm putting those two together. So here's the context. Paul and his co-worker Barnabas, they had made a trip to different towns and places in what is current day Turkey, and they were preaching about Jesus. And many people believed in Jesus. But Paul and Barnabas moved on. So a lot of people became spiritual infants, new babies in God. And then one day Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing. They want to see how they're going. Now, that just reads as though Paul had a good idea. Barnabas, let's go back and see how those disciples are doing. Good idea, Paul. But we will actually see that this idea came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prompts us in what may seem like natural ways. They are natural ways, and we think a lot of them are just our own thoughts and ideas, and a lot of them probably are. But many of the ideas and the kind of things that move us to say certain things or do certain things, if you know Jesus, you can expect that they will come from the Holy Spirit. He works in natural ways. And Paul says the same kind of thing in another place when he writes to another group of believers. And he says, it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So God works in you, if you know Jesus, to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So we can rest in the knowledge that God is at work in us. We're not drifting along hoping we get it right. And we shouldn't strive thinking, oh, but how will I know what God wants me to do? Maybe I'll make a mistake. Maybe I'll miss it. God knows how to guide you. God knows how to speak to you. And we really can rest in that. All right, so Paul and his companions set out. They're moving along around the towns. They're encouraging many believers. But then they find that they are not able to go to some of the places they plan to go. And this is what we read. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region. These are hard words, but I'll pronounce them. Throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word of God in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. Okay, that's pretty complicated. But what it's saying is, Paul and Barnabas were going where they thought would be a good idea to encourage believers, but they couldn't get there. So, oh, we can't go there. Oh, let's go there. But then they couldn't get there. Oh, okay, well, let's go there. But you see the key word there. It says, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in those places. And then we read further down, they were going to go to another place, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they were finding these obstacles. It seemed very chaotic, very messy. Does your life feel messy at times? Does your life seem chaotic at times? Mine does. In the book called The Shack, there's a lovely phrase. I noted it. It talks about the seemingly random chaos of life. The seemingly random chaos of life. Life may be chaotic at times, and it will be. If you're a believer in Jesus, it's not random. It's not random. God is with you, and he is working out his good purposes in your life. So what Paul was experiencing here was the purposeful action of the Holy Spirit. And he's at work in our lives in a purposeful way. And that can come in the form of closed doors. You want to do something? You can't do it. Something, the door closes. There are blockages. There are hindrances. There may be unwelcome circumstances that even change the direction of our lives. So when that happens, how do we feel? Usually we'll feel disappointed. We might be frustrated. We may even be disillusioned. I've been disillusioned before in my Christian life. I've been disillusioned. Just can't figure out what's going on. And so we may be low for a while, but the time needs to come where our confidence in God rises above those circumstances. And we say, deliberately, we say, Lord, what are you doing in this situation? What are you doing here? This is not a random thing. This has come according to your good purposes in my life. Lord, what are you doing? How can I cooperate with you? What do you want to teach me? That is such a key attitude and response, and it's a mark of spiritual maturity. We don't pull away from God, we press into him. Okay, I want to move to another area of the Holy Spirit's work in our life. So far, I've been talking about how the Holy Spirit works in what just look to be natural ways, prompting us, giving us ideas according to his will. There can be closed doors, there are open doors. It feels like chaos, but it's not, because our lives are submitted to him and he's got a good purpose in what he's doing. I want to talk about something else now. One of the primary aims of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer as he moves us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity. So I have stood up here before and I've talked about the kind of person I was before I met Jesus. I think some of you could probably shout out some of my sins, but we won't get you to do that. I can do that myself. So some of them, well, some of these, they're not sins. Some of them were. There were times I stole things. There were times I broke the law. So yeah, let's call them sins. There were other things that we wouldn't call sins now in the world's eyes. I slept around. I drank excessively. I took drugs. I went to see a fortune teller. This is the behavior of a person who is outside of the kingdom of God. And if you looked at my life, you saw a certain character in me, the kind of person I was, and you saw the fruit of that character in the way I behaved, the things I did. But when I came to know Jesus, there were instant changes on the inside. You see, Jesus said, whoever believes in me, from inside will flow rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit. When I came to know Jesus, I put my trust in him. I just handed my life over to him. And the Holy Spirit came and dwelt inside me, which is what he does for everyone who really, truly, not just with their mouth, but truly commits their lives to Jesus. He indwells you. And that led to instant changes in me, because I was a different person. No more drinking, no more drugs, no more sleeping around. But instead, joy, peace, contentment, purpose. I really was a new person. So something had started in me, but it was only the beginning. It was going somewhere. Yeah, I agree. Wow. Now, where was it going? It was moving in this direction. And let me tell you, it's not finished yet. It's still happening. What's going on? Paul talks about this. Can you read it with me if you can see it? Okay. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what God is like. And this is what he wants his people to become like. And this is what the Holy Spirit over time produces in our character. I'm a different person to what I used to be. Thank God. I may not be here today if he hadn't rescued me. So how is he going to work those qualities in us? He is not going to zap us and say, there you go. There's all the patience you need for the rest of your life. Here you go, Rob. Here's all the self-control you're going to need for the rest of your life. That's not what he does. He teaches us and grows those things in us. How? Through the ordinary circumstances of life. That's where it happens. You don't have to go to a Bible college to learn those things. Bible colleges are good. It's good to be able to go if you can, and if the Lord calls you to that. And he called me to go to a Bible college. So I was there. Okay, let me study, and let me grow in my knowledge, and then I'll become a really mature Christian because I'll know lots of things about the Bible. But I wasn't expecting the way that he was going to work. Let me tell you about it. I was the leader of a certain team at the college for a period of time. That team was called the veggie prep team, preparing vegetables for the college for the day's meals. And something happened during that time that really left an imprint on me. So there was one time I became resentful. So I was the leader of the veggie prep team, and I just felt like there were just too many veggies and not enough people to peel them and chop them. It just wasn't fair. Where were all the other people that should have been here helping? And so, yeah, I thought, this isn't fair. How can we do all this and get to class on time? So my response, do you know what my response was? It wasn't, Lord, what do you want to teach me here? It wasn't that. My response was, well, I'm not going to rush myself, but I'm still going to get to class on time. And whatever veggies are not done, that's just how it is. Is that a good attitude? No. But you see, I missed something really important. I wanted to get to class so I could learn about God. But I didn't realize I was already in the class, in the classroom, in the veggie prep room. That's where my classroom was. That's where God wanted to teach me some things. Real life. Ordinary things that don't look like they matter too much. But they matter if the Holy Spirit is going to produce this kind of character in us. It comes in the ordinary circumstances of life. I needed to learn a lot of things. So what circumstances are you in at the moment? Is there something that's stretching you, that you feel like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't like some of these things in my life at the moment. Well, let me tell you, if you have committed your life to Jesus, then there's a process going on that is very intentional. It's not random, even though it feels like that at times, but the Holy Spirit is with you for good purposes like that. We do not jump to spiritual maturity. Now, there are some phrases that Paul uses to help us really get what our response needs to be when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. What do we do? These are some of the things Paul says. He says, walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. So the emphasis here is on the Holy Spirit and what he is doing in our lives at this time. And Paul's saying, listen, pay attention, pray, ask him, and cooperate with what he's doing. So this morning, I'm focusing on the Holy Spirit. Let's say this hand represents the Holy Spirit. That's our focus today. But let's say this hand represents the Word of God, the Bible. These two go hand in hand. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the Bible, go hand in hand. The Bible, it's a big one because it's got lots of notes and things in it. Don't be scared by that. Just the Bible text itself is not so intimidating. The Bible is inspired by God. It is God-breathed. And the Bible is called the Sword of the Spirit. That's one of the names of it. So we've got the Holy Spirit, we have the Word of God, the Bible. This is the Sword of the Spirit. And the Spirit takes the sword of God's Word and He uses that in our lives. So the Bible is really important for us. You may not be used to reading, but you can read 3 or 4 lines of the Bible each day. And if you do that, the Holy Spirit will take that sword and He will help you learn about yourself and Himself and many other things. So let me just really encourage us to be people who read the Word. The Holy Spirit and the Bible, they testify to one another. They confirm one another. They affirm one another. All right, let's move to one last thing in this event we're looking at in the life of Paul. So during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia. So Macedonia is still a country today. It's north of Greece. And Paul was near there in his journey where they wanted to encourage the believers, but the Holy Spirit kept closing doors because He was leading them this way. They had a vision. And this man from Macedonia was standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So they were not planning to go to Macedonia. Macedonia is Europe. Paul and his companions were in Asia, Turkey. Now, this man from Macedonia, he's saying, "Come over to Europe." That wasn't Paul's thinking, but that was the plan of the Holy Spirit. We need to know that the Holy Spirit's plans are bigger than what we have for ourselves. They're better. And He will open the way for those things to come to pass if we are doing what Paul did and we are listening and responding to His leading. And in this case, the Holy Spirit used what today we think of as an unusual way. He gave Paul a vision of this man. But actually, this is not unusual in the working of God. Many people in the early days of the church, recorded here in the Bible, many people had visions. People do today. It's very common, especially in Muslim countries, where it can cost you your life if you choose to believe in Jesus. It's not unusual to hear about Jesus giving people visions of Himself. They see that, they are greatly impacted, and they are given strength to stand against the opposition that they're going to face. When my wife and I were deciding about whether to return to China for a second term there, we were not sure if that's what we should do. We were praying about it. We made a list of things that helped us with that. But the thing that really confirmed to me that we need to go to China again was when I had a dream. And in my dream, an elder of this church, when it used to be in Murray Street, this elder whom I respected, he came to me and he gave me some money. And he said, "Goodbye." And so that dream was saying to me, here's the leadership of the church farewelling me. That confirmed to me that God was saying, "I want you to go back to China." The point I'm making here is the Holy Spirit, of course, He may guide us in ways that we don't expect or are not used to. But we need to be open to that. We need to be open to things we're not really familiar with. Just be open to it, not be closed to unusual ways that the Holy Spirit might work. All right, I've finished. I think you'll be glad to know that. I have finished, but this is what I want to just come back to. The Holy Spirit takes us from spiritual infancy to spiritual maturity in life and in service. I've said a lot of things. I've talked about the need to come to Jesus first, to believe in him. And when we truly do that, give our lives to him, receive him into our lives, the Holy Spirit will take up residence in us and make us a new person. So I've got a question. Think about that. If that isn't something you have done, I want you to think about it. I've talked about the need to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. What is he saying to you? The circumstances you're in at the moment, have you said, Lord, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to teach me in these circumstances? We're going to have a minute or so of just quietness to think about those things. And then I'm going to pray. Okay, a minute or so of quietness. Lord God, we are so grateful to you. You are the true and living God. We don't make you up. You reveal yourself to us. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here, Lord, and for any who don't know you yet through Jesus. Lord, I pray for the continual work of your Spirit in us, to that your grace will be poured out on us, Lord, that you will see where we are. You see where we are. And I pray that you will work in us to move us in your great mercy, to move us on in faith in yourself. Have your way in our lives. Thank you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.